I do ask you to pray for me. I have only got 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33 points. And but most of them are just statements. And I don't know whether there's any meat to put on those statements or not. And I hope I can say something that'll help us. You can't exhaust the scriptures, I know that. But sometimes we can exhaust our mind. And I've preached out of these verses now three or four times. Lord willing, I want to preach out of it at least one more time out of verse 11. But I want to begin reading again tonight in verse number 8. Where John says in John chapter number 2 and verse number 8, John 2 and verse 8, again a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness, the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. I preached on that this morning. He that saith he is in light and hateth his brother. John is very polite in saying what he said, but in Kentucky language, he is a liar. If he says he is walking in light as Christ is in the light and still hates his brother, he's deceived and he is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is, get this, none occasion of stumbling in him. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the good Lord's day that you've given us. The good liberty we had in the morning hour, your people and their faithfulness and dedication. Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence. Thank you for the singing tonight. It's graced my heart and caused me to want to shout, and yet my mind's been so engrossed upon what I need to say tonight. Now, I pray you'll help me, Lord. Without you, it's impossible for me to be a blessing to the people. It's impossible for me to glorify Jesus' name. I pray you'll give divine grace and liberty and unction I as a preacher tonight. I do pray for the deliverance of souls of men, that sinners tonight would be saved, that their blinded eyes would be opened, that they might receive the truth, the Word of God. I pray for our people. I pray for myself and the church that, Lord, you'd send us an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival that we might once again rejoice in Thee. I pray that your will might be done in those here and those by the radio as well. Do great and mighty things for us that only God can do. Again, I need your divine help. I plead the blood. I pray for grace. And we'll thank you, Lord, for the outcome in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Our verse text tonight is found in verse number 10. And John says there, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. In this verse, John continues his discussion, or we might say, on brotherly love. And I've said a great deal in the last few services about brotherly love. But he continues here to carry out the thought of brotherly love. And he uses four metaphors to explain the difference between, or to explain what brotherly love is and what brotherly love is not. Amen. He uses the words of light and love. Yep. Those two words are interchangeable, really, and they both have to deal with the fact of loving our brother. And loving the Lord Jesus. Yep. And loving our wives as our own selves. Amen. And loving our enemies. Yep. And loving one another. Yep. But then he uses the words darkness and hatred. Love and light are synonymous to those that have been to Calvary and been redeemed by the grace of God. But the darkness and hatred is in reference to those that are still lost. Amen. And they're without God and they're without any hope. The difference between light and love is darkness and hatred. And I want to preach on those first two words a little while tonight. Not really much on them, but around the thoughts of them. And simply title the message, Light and Love.
Yep.
Light and Love. Now, if we go back and recap just a little bit in the chapter, John says in verse number 5 that love is the only rule to which our life is formed.
Amen.
He said there in verse number 5, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And that is the rule of which our life is formed. We are being conformed to the image of Christ. And Christ is love. The Bible said God is love. And we're being conformed to His image, then certainly love ought to be perfected within you and I. And the Bible said the only way that can be accomplished is by keeping God's Word.
Amen.
I wrote down in the corner here of my text, just wrote it down today. Keepeth His Word simply means obeying the Word of God.
Amen.
It is an impossibility to love like we ought to love without obeying the Word of God.
Amen.
And it ought to be quite understandable why the world is in the mess that it's in today. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many is waxed cold. Now I'm telling you, without the love of God, without keeping the Word of God, the love of God cannot be perfected within our lives. And I'll be honest, I don't know very many people that are really striving to keep the Word of God. I'm talking about being obedient to what the Bible has to say. Not our opinions, not what we think it says, but comparing Scripture with Scripture and obeying what the Word of God has to say. Keeping God's Word. Not only being hearers of the Word, but being doers only. For if we're just hearers of the Word of God, then James said that we're deceiving our own selves. But we must be keepers of the Word of God, and the love of God is perfected in us. Now, stay right with me, and I'll get on down through the text here in just a minute. But now, in 1 Corinthians 12:31, Paul said this. He said, but covet the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And he mentions in the book of Corinthians a number of gifts. And may I say that the church at Corinth was hung up on gifts.
Yes.
He said in one place, why, every time you come together, every man hath a psalm, every man hath a hymn, every man hath a song, every man hath this and that. And really it brought confusion to that assembly. But yet Paul said to covet the best gift. Now I'm not going to get in an argument, but he's plain in the book of Corinthians, the best gift is prophecy. Prophecy, everybody is exhorted by prophecy. Come on in the house, boys and girls. He that prophesieth exhorteth the church. And yet they were hung up on other gifts in the Word of God. Now, he closed, when he says that, he says a more excellent way, he begins chapter 13, which is the greatest love chapter in all of the Word of God, without a shadow of a doubt. And that more excellent way is love. He said we might be able to speak with the words of angels, and if we don't have love, it doesn't profit us a thing. And we might do this and do that, but if we don't have love, it profiteth us absolutely nothing. And that more excellent way was love. Now, I want you to get this now. I got a hold of this afternoon. He closes chapter 13 by making this statement. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And I've always known that charity is the pinnacle of the Christian salvation, the Christian life. But I wonder why he said that the way that he said it. Now about us, faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity is just the outworking of love. Now stay with me. The Bible said that God is love. And that love is being perfected in you and I that are saved by the grace of God. Now get a hold of this and please. And I understand that when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, the Bible said that we lived by the faith of the Son of God that loved us and gave Himself for us. But God, enthroned in all of His majesty, does not live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Then hope. What does God have to hope for? He is omniscient and knows all things. He created all things. Why would He have to hope for something to come to pass when in His omnipotence He is going to make all things come to pass? And I'm going to tell you why I said charity. Because God is love. And that love of God is perfected in those that are saved by His marvelous grace. It is the greatest divine attribute that God has. Amen. Now, stay right with me. He says in verse number 5 that love gives us an assurance of our salvation. He said, "Hereby know we that we are in Him." That is, if we keep His commandments. You want to know a sure way to know you're saved? Boy, I've been preaching a long time and I've heard people say, "Preacher, I hope I'm saved. Preacher, I think I'm saved. Preacher, I might be saved." But I'm telling you how you can know you're saved. And that is if you keep His commandments and the love of God is perfected in you. Let me ask you something tonight. Do we really love the Lord and do we really love our brothers and sisters in Christ? If we do, the love of God is perfected in us, and that is one of the greatest assurances that we have that we've been to Calvary and been saved by the grace of God. If that love has been imparted unto us by the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. Amen. Do you really love the brethren? Like I said this morning, the people you love, you'll spend time with. A man don't love his wife, spends all of his life at the pool room. Amen. And a man don't love the church, it can't, don't come to church.
Amen.
I don't care what you say.
That's right.
You will live around and be around those things that you love. If we love the Lord, we'll fellowship with Him.
Amen.
If we love the brethren, we'll want to spend time with the brethren.
Amen.
That is why I encourage you before and after church to hang around and fellowship with the brethren. You need that.
Amen.
You need that. Then he also says, he said in that same verse, he said, well really, he said this love is imparted as God's gift through the gospel.
Yeah.
A man that's never been saved don't know how to love.
Right.
It's imparted through salvation.
Yeah.
God's gift to man is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now I'm telling you, He is love.
Yeah.
Thank God, God loved the world and gave His love to the world that sinners might be saved by the grace of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The world hated you and I, and we were rejects in the world. Oh, but there was one in heaven that said, "Father, I love them, and I'll go die for them. And I'll save them and wash them in my own blood and regenerate them by the power of the Holy Ghost and lift them out of the depths of sin and set them in my own right hand."
Amen.
All the glory of God. I'm telling you, the gospel makes a difference.
Amen.
Gospel teach you how to love, friend.
Amen.
You want to know what's wrong with this world today? They need saved.
Amen.
They need the gospel. Lord, I've never seen the world in the mess it's in. I'm 61 plus. Brother America's about to go down the drain.
Amen.
I don't see her anywhere in prophetic scripture. The only thing I've got to rely on is that USA is right in the middle of the word Jerusalem. J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. But I can't find her unless she is commercial Babylon. I can't find America in the end time. I'm telling you, immorality and ungodliness has eaten away and crowed away at the very moral fiber of our country. And it is because the church has lost its love. Brother, if we cannot even get along with one another, how in heaven's name can we love God? That Bible said, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you've never seen? It says that in the same book. Is anybody listening? Light and love. I'm going to get to them in a minute. They're both imparted by the gospel. I'm going to make some statements down there. Just hold on. This love is imputed through God's gift through the gospel. On the other hand, he concludes that all are blind and walk in darkness who are strangers to the gospel.
Amen.
I don't care. Hey, I don't care what you say with your lips. I want to see action. I want to see conduct. I want to see character. I want to see us walk in the light as He is in the light. You cannot abide in the light without walking in the light. Amen. Come on, Brother Hall. Do some preaching now. Hallelujah to God. And I'm telling you, if you have never believed the gospel, you're in darkness even until now. Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, when the gospel hit old Paul on the Damascus Road, amen, get a hold of this now. When he heard the voice and realized the love, he saw the light. And love and light got together. And praise God, when love and light come together in a man's soul, they're going to do something for that man. Amen. God will turn on the light of the Scriptures and the light of the Savior and the light of sin and the light in yourself. It'll turn on the light of His love as well for you. Amen. That's right. Now, professing Christians are tested by their response to the divine precept of brotherly love. It is the criteria for being in light or being in darkness. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You preach on Christian love in most Baptist churches, and they'll think you have done flipped out, friend. Back in the 80s, if you wasn't meaner than a snake, you wasn't even an independent Baptist.
Right.
And I know some of them today. And I've been down that road. But thank God I'm trying to learn a little bit. But I can name you some right now that entertain the idea the meaner they are, the greater Christian they are. But I'm telling you, their hatred and their animosity does not reveal the glorious gospel of Christ. It reveals the darkness that they live in. But I'm telling you that the love that we have for one another, hey, by this shall all men, all A-double-L all men, know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. Now I know some of them think they got to be mean, and they are. There's one fellow in particular. I'm telling you what, if I wasn't saved and didn't love him,
amen.
I'd probably try to mash his mouth. I'm telling you the fact. But they get up and ridicule overweight people and think that's love. Well, they talk about people. Come on in the house now. Amen.
That's right.
And they think the meaner they are, the more people that like them. And I'm going to tell you who likes them. That crowd that's living in darkness. They like that kind of mess. But I'm telling you, God should. Amen. I keep a nightlight burning all the time. I ain't got no use for darkness.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of darkness, but I don't like what's in it. Amen. If you'd have sat in some places I sat in, you might have been afraid of a little bit of the, you might have been worried about the darkness too. I don't like walking up through them creepy woods deer hunting in the mornings by myself. I don't. You ever step by a little old brook and the water going blub, 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 and you sit there with an M16 rifle and wonder any minute who and how many is coming across that brook? And every time the wind changes just a little bit in the speed that it's blowing, you think, here they come? You think that don't put a little herky jerk in your nerves? I don't like dark. I'm glad God saved me and brought me out of darkness and put me in the light. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, and professing Christians are tested that way. God will test our response to the divine precept of brotherly love. That's how they tested it. Come on. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. He'll let somebody crossways you. See if you can still go on loving them. Can you love somebody when they make you crossways? Can you love somebody when they irritate you? Can you love somebody that's talked about you? Can you love somebody that's criticized you? And I'm telling you, God will allow that to happen by the unregenerate to test and prove you whether you're in the faith or not. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody help me. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now.
Amen.
Thanks, Brother Jerome. Amen.
Amen.
Now, here's some things I ain't got much meat to put on. But listen carefully. Love is a necessary means of preserving us in light. He said there in that verse, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light.
Amen.
He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And so that love is a necessary means of preserving us in the light. I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for the love of God that constraineth us, there would none of us abide in the light. Not a one of us. But the love of God is what constrains us. And therefore we abide in the light and we're preserved in the light by that love. And I'll prove it to you another way. God loved the world and gave His Son. Thank God, I'm glad love is a preservative that will preserve things. Like marriages. You really love one another, you'll hang together through thick and thin. And I'm telling you, if you really love Jesus and love your brother in Christ, you'll hang together through thick. If you love Christ, you'll hang with Him. And if you love those in the church around you, you'll hang with them. This old junk of getting our toe over the line every time something happens we don't like. I don't like what color carpet they put. I don't like what color the wallpaper is. I don't like the ceiling fan. Well, I don't like that light bulb back there burn out. And I don't like that light bulb over there burn out. But I ain't leaving the church because of the stupid burn out light bulb.
Amen.
People fight over wallpaper colors and carpet colors. Then you come to church on Sunday morning saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. Paint it pink if you want to. Preach, pray, and praise Him in the house of God. And we can do that if we've got our heart right with one another and our heart right with God and our love is where it ought to be. We can come to the house of God, get over this deadness we're in, and preach and pray and praise Him for a little while. Y'all looked at me like a cabin of Newgate a while ago. Well, I said, well, how many of you like to shout it out for an hour and go home? Some of you in here wouldn't like to shout it out for 3 seconds.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Now, listen carefully. Light is essential to love, and love is inseparable to the light.
That's right.
Light is essential to love.
Amen.
And love is inseparable to the light.
Amen, preacher.
Get a hold of this.
Yes.
Light is love's home. Love lives in the light.
Amen.
That's what it says. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Amen. And so, light is love's home.
Yes.
It dwells there. It's its dwelling place. It dwells in the light. And praise God, if we're in the light, we're in the love.
Amen.
If we're in the love, we're in the light. We're saved by the grace of God.
Yes.
Amen. And they are inseparable. You cannot be in the light and not love. And you cannot love and not be in the light.
Amen.
Amen. He'll be all right. He'll run out of breath in a minute. Amen. Now, love is also born in the light. When that light shined on Paul on the road to Damascus, he got up off his face loving Jesus. And love was born in that light. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If the gospel has ever lit up your soul, that very second, that very instant, that light lit up your soul and illuminated your life. Love moved in, hallelujah to God. And hatred moved out. And light moved in and darkness moved out. They cannot dwell together. Love and hatred cannot dwell together, and darkness and light cannot dwell together. They're two separate things. Some of y'all looking at me like cats in Newgate. Like you ain't never heard what I'm preaching tonight.
Amen.
Now, listen carefully. Love also grows in the light. Hereby, he said, but whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. That tells me that love is something that's got to grow. And it's got to grow in the light. That's why I'm a stickler about his presence. If you've got His presence, you've got the light.
Amen.
And love cannot grow in darkness.
Amen.
There's nothing for it to reach out by faith and get a hold of.
Amen.
But it must abide. It must abide. Love must abide in the light.
Amen.
And then that light is perfected and it grows in that light. Amen. That's why we're to send out light and truth.
Amen.
I've come to the conclusion that love is the greatest thing that we can possess as a Christian.
Amen.
Without a doubt. And love don't make you a soft sissy.
Amen. Right?
No, sir.
Amen.
Makes a man or a lady out of you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You're not a sissy. You think Jesus was a sissy? Go do what He done. Just die to death He done if you think He was a sissy. In Him was embodied all the love of God. And yet He laid down on Calvary's tree and suffered as no man has ever suffered to provide salvation for wretches like you and I are. Bless His wonderful name. Love, thank God, is not a sissy. Love has come from a man. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, stay right with me for a minute. Notice now, when God's glory shines in the face of a Christian brother, we cannot help loving him. How can you look and see the glory of God on a Christian brother and not love him? To not love him is to not love God. It's just that plain and simple. Somebody said, no, I don't believe you can see that. Well, what are you going to do about old Stephen when he come to die? And they that looked upon him saw the face of an angel.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what they saw. They saw the love of God in him. Now, I'm going to tell you what they done. They were full of hatred and darkness and they stoned him to death. They're murderers. You know why? Because they hate the light and they hate the love. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People loved one another. There wouldn't be as many preachers being run off as they are. There wouldn't be as many preachers quitting as what they are.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Stay right with me. The nearest way to our brother is through the heart of Christ. And love conquers in the light. Love conquers in the light.
Amen.
As we walk in the light, as we abide in that light, that love conquers in that light. It conquers the flesh.
Amen.
And it conquers the world. If we love Christ with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, we're not nearly as apt to sin against Him.
Amen.
And if we love our brothers in the Lord, we're not apt to sin against them.
Amen.
And we're not apt to do them harm and injury.
Yes.
We won't speak about them and talk about them and criticize them. But we will esteem them more highly than ourselves.
Amen.
For love's sake. Amen. Now, love is not just a mere verbal claim, but it's something that speaks louder than words.
Amen.
My wife wouldn't really believe I loved her if all I ever said is, "Honey, I love you."
Amen.
I got to back that up every now and then, fellas, with some flowers, a little gift, tight wads,
Amen.
Box of candy,
Amen.
A few days off,
Amen.
Vacation. Amen. Well, honey, I love you. Well, what are you going to do to prove that? Praise God, I'm going to let you cook my supper.
Amen.
I'm meddling now.
Free.
Amen. We need meddle that. Hey. It is far more than an endearing expression by the lips. It is a real, active, benevolent affection which suffers nothing in its object to quench it. If we love each other, as the Bible says, there's nothing.
Amen.
There is nothing can quench that love. Somebody said, "You got verses for that?" I'd be a fool if I didn't. Solomon 8:6, "For love is strong as death."
Amen.
And what are you going to do about Solomon 8:7? Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. You can't drown love, and you can't quench love, and you can't stop love. If you could, the devil could stop God from loving us. But it cannot be quenched. It cannot be stopped. I'm telling you, love is the strongest force in this world. The strongest power in this world.
Amen.
Somebody said, "I thought the gospel was." What do you think brought us the gospel?
Yeah, right.
That's right. Animosity? Hatred? No, love.
Amen.
And every one of us in here ought to be in hell.
Amen.
And if you're lost, you're in darkness and hatred, and you're going to hell unless you get saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
But thank God, God loved and put those words in action and was willing to suffer reproach and mockings and scourgings and love islands. And laid down His life without opening His mouth like a lamb dumb before His shears. He opened not His mouth. You know this, but like a lamb dumb before her shears, He opened not His mouth. That male lamb would rebel that death, but not the female. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. You know why I'd use the female term there for him? Like a lamb dumb. He opened not her mouth. You know why I'd use a feminine gender? I'm going to tell you why. He didn't die for him.
Yeah.
He died for His bride, the church.
Amen.
That's why it was sold for 30 pieces of silver. That is the price of a woman.
Amen.
And it was love, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He didn't just say, "I love." He done something about that love.
Amen. Yes,
Now, if we really love our Christian brothers, sisters, we'll do our best to do something about that. We'll do what we can to prove that love.
Amen.
I'm trying to hurry. A few more minutes here. Now, money and wealth can't buy love either. He said, give everything in your house, all your substance, it'd utterly be contemned. A lot of people think money can buy happiness. Men think that if they can give a woman a lot of money, she'll love them. Money can't buy love.
Amen.
Love is something that cannot be explained. I dare any of you, and I've used this before, I dare any of you in here, any of you men, to stand up right now and tell me why you love your wife. Now, you might have lusted after your wife. But tell me why you loved her. You can't explain love. I knew Miss Hall when, since she was that big, used to pop them little old pot beads they wore back then on the school bus. Aggravate the life. I sent her home every day squalling. Thought I was a big dude for doing that. Didn't realize someday I'd grow up and marry her, and she'd remember all that, and vengeance is Brenda saith her. Hadn't been married a week till she stabbed me in the leg with a fork. Praise God. She said, don't do that. I've done it a second time. She said, sitting at the breakfast table, she said, I said, don't do that. I've done it the third time. She said, shoot. I said, don't do that. She stabbed me in the finger one time out in Arizona with a darning needle. That egg sucker went in over that big hook and just hung there, dangling. The minute it started dangling, she started saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. There's a darning needle that long hanging out of my hand. Do you know why I didn't retaliate? Love. Love does not retaliate. That's why Christ didn't retaliate on the cross.
Yeah.
Love did not retaliate. He could have called not 10,000, 10 billions of angels.
Amen.
But He chose to die alone for you and me.
Amen.
Because of that wonderful love. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now, don't nobody leave me. I'm about done. I've got two or three little points here and I'm done. Number one, love produces the highest godly virtues in Christianity.
Amen.
It produces the highest. Hey, in 1 Corinthians 13, we have a real holy, sublime, elevated description given to the nature, characteristics, and workings of God's holy and heavenly love. You ought to read it sometime. I just brushed by these. It's patient and forbearing toward its objects. You know what forbearing means? You forbear with somebody. It means when they irritate and rub you the wrong way, that you don't retaliate verbally or otherwise. You keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, is that in the Bible? He said in Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Amen.
We bear with and we forbear one another in love. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, we can love somebody in their imperfections. Believe that or not, it's possible.
Amen.
But you was a long way, and I was a long way from perfect when Christ loved us and died for us.
Amen.
And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, that same love. So we can love people in their imperfections.
Amen.
I won't say secondly, it suffers long and is kind. Love is not belligerent and hateful. It's kind.
Amen.
Is not easily irritated nor repulsed by ingratitude. I wonder how the Lord feels. I wonder how the Lord feels when we think people ought to be thankful for something we've done, they're not quite that thankful, and we let it upset us. Does ingratitude make you mad? Do you have to be patted on the back every time you do something around the church?
Does he have to be cuddled and coddled like a baby? Does it make you mad when somebody don't? That's ingratitude.
Amen.
And love suffereth long.
Amen.
And is kind.
Yes, sir.
Love is humble and lowly. James said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Love is humble.
Amen.
People got the idea to be meek and humble. You're, like I said a while ago, a big sissy. But you're not. Most men, they want to be macho. They're pumping them irons and stuff, and they want to be macho, buddy. I'm going to tell you how to be macho. I'm going to tell you how to be a man. Live for God.
Amen.
Lay aside every sin, every weight, and live for God. Learn to love people. Love sinners and pray for them. Fill up the house of God. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. It does not envy the property of others. Psalm 72, 2 and 3. Here's what Asaph said. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Does it make you envious to see other people have more than you got, especially the people that are lost? See them seemingly getting along better than you are? We were sitting at the dinner table eating today, and I said something. Little old Brookie looked over me and said, Papa, I want to remind you that payday is not always on Friday.
Amen.
Their payday is coming.
Amen.
Why get envious at somebody? Who, the Bible says, are foolish.
Amen.
And they're prospering. Let them have the world. Praise God, I'd rather have heaven than all the world has got to offer. We're not going to a cabin, but I'd rather have a cabin in the corner of glory than have the world, friend.
Amen.
It's going to be beyond the cabin.
Amen.
Don't nobody leave me now. It is not, love is not puffed up at its own performance. That is, it don't brag. I've seen preachers get done preaching. Boy, I've done good. Brag and boast about their preaching. And I'm going to tell you, they fail to realize without Him we can do nothing.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
Love is not puffed up. It's not braggadocious. It's not heady. Not high-minded. It's not haughty.
Yes.
It's meek and lowly and humble in spirit and in heart.
Yes.
Amen. That's right. It thinks no evil. In other words, it does not harbor doubts or suspicion. Now, that's tough. Not to think any evil of anybody. That's tough. I'm afraid I fall very short right there. I'm probably one of the most suspicious guys. Preachers get that way. You get a few battle scars, a few wounds, a few knives in the back from Joab, son, you start to get suspicious about everybody. You worry about everybody. You don't want to turn your back on nobody. Because you're afraid of them. That's why for a long time when somebody was up here preaching, I sat right over there. Because if they got on something I didn't think was right, I'd go over and pull their coat till somebody said, oh, you wouldn't? Oh, yeah, I would.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, I would.
Amen.
Now, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rather it grieves when the sins of a brother are apparent. Does it make you happy to see somebody fall into sin? I hope not. I mean, it used to be, and I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty as anybody. Some preacher sin. Praise God, I'm not that way. Buddy, you better be careful.
Amen.
Stephen.
Good.
When you think you sin not, buddy,
amen,
you better be careful. When you think you've arrived, you better be careful.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what one of the devil's slickest tricks is. He'll get you thinking in one week area of your life and come in the back door, buddy, and bring you down.
Yes, that's right, preacher.
Amen.
He'll get you preoccupied with one thing in your life and come in behind you and get you, buddy.
Amen.
I've seen it happen more than once.
Yes, sir.
Love protects us from offenses. I want you to notice this. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, I'm trying to hurry. I'm just about done. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, I always thought what that meant was that if he's in the light, he will not stumble over the snares and the traps of the devil. That's not what that means. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. That word stumble, and I'm not trying to change the Bible, but that word stumble in the Greek, occasion of stumbling, is a word scandalous. And it's where we get our word scandal, which primarily means to a snare laid for an enemy.
Amen.
He said there's none occasion of stumbling in him. And that can go two ways. If we're in that light, we're not going to stumble at the enemy's snares.
Amen.
But I'm telling you what, and hear what I'm saying here is the reality of that verse. If we're in the light, as He is in the light, and we're abiding in that light, and we love our brother, we're not going to cause any offenses to our brother that would make them stumble.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." You don't have to believe it. You can be wrong if you want to be.
That's right. Amen.
Be wrong if you want to be. It protects us from the stumbling block of temptation. His temptation to the godly is often conveyed by the afflictions of the unregenerate. And they seek to cause us to relinquish our Christian duties. Get this, and here's where some of you are living. And grow weary of the ways of God.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, that's exactly where some of you are living right now. You have grown weary of the ways of God. Now, I know this is kind of slow, but I can't help it. It's what God told me to preach, so I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
We're weary about church, and we're weary in the way. I want to say this. Do you know anybody that is so discouraged that every time they get around you, they're talking about the problems in the church and worried sick about what's going on in the church? I'm telling you what will happen. That discouragement of theirs will wear off on you eventually.
Amen.
I would avoid somebody like that like a plague if I could.
Amen.
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 Protects us from the stumbling block of temptation, from growing weary in the ways of God. Protects us from the stumbling block of worldly enticements. Demas, having loved this present evil world, hath forsaken me, Paul said.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what love will do. It'll deliver you from that. It protects us from the stumbling block of discouragement. I've already used that. Do you realize that your discouragement can become a stumbling block to other people? I'm telling you, discouragement's like a plague, friend. It's worse than measles. And I'm telling you, people around you can tell when you're in that way.
Right.
Don't take a real spiritual man to know when people are discouraged.
Amen.
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 And your discouragement can be a stumbling block.
Amen.
You know what your problem is? You don't love your brother like you say you do.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Amen. We're having fun now, ain't we? Luke 17:1 said it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come.
Amen.
The Bible says it. I'm closing right here. Love is useful to our perseverance. He said, abideth in the light.
Amen.
The previous verse was a matter of just being in the light. But here, it's a matter of abiding in the light. It's talking about perseverance. The love spoken of here is more than a fleeting act of affection, but rather something that continues. I said in the morning hour that love has no stopping point.
Amen.
It grows.
Amen.
It doesn't retract. And perseverance is what crowns any action. And love and abiding in the light will crown your love for one another. You will persevere.
Amen.
Now, I know there's a lot of Baptists today, and I've heard a lot of them in camp many things. They don't like that word. They don't believe in the perseverance of the saints. I do!
Amen!
I don't believe in losing it. I'm not an Arminian. I'm a Baptist. And if you're saved, then that love is in you. It is an abiding love. Amen. That grows in the light and doesn't dissipate one bit. But it grows in that light. You love your brother? The man hateth his brother, he is in darkness, even until now. Let's stand together.